I hope we're all letting our light shine. That's a hard act to follow. Yeah, I tell you. I did want to take a moment and share with you in regard to the mortgage campaign fund. I don't know about you, but I'm getting pretty excited that we're getting closer and closer. Just 5 months ago, we shared with you that we need to raise $15,000, and then the South Central District was going to match that for us to be able to pay the mortgage off. I want you to know this morning that we are currently at $13,875 and still 96 cents. And so that means we only need $1,124.04. I think that's good ground to praise the Lord. Amen. There's no question the Lord's going to continue to bless, and I believe you're going to continue to respond to the Lord. And by the end of April, we're going to reach that goal, and I believe the Lord's going to allow us to in May to pay off the mortgage, and we're going to praise the Lord for that. And I just want to say thank you to all those who have graciously given, and I know the Lord will bless you for your generosity. And I know the Lord will bless you. And so thank you as we continue to minister for the Lord. What a blessing it will be to not have that mortgage any longer and to be able to turn those dollars into dollars for evangelism, to be able to reach the community, reaching the unsaved, making a difference in the lives of others. And so we're excited about that. Well, today we're starting a new sermon series on evangelism, entitled, as you see, Fishers of Men, not Fishers of Fish. Anyway, we will begin with the call to fish. I know some of us love to fish, spend time on the water. However, this sermon series has really nothing to do with fish. Sorry, Bob. Yep. Some days, absolutely. But everything to do with sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over the next few weeks, we'll discover the biblical importance of evangelism. Once again, we're going to start today with the call to fish. Matthew chapter 4 addresses this morning this very thought of the call to fish. So let's take our Bibles, if you would. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Appreciate if you'd be standing for the reading of the Word. Here Matthew shares with us, chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Join us in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we are so thankful to be able to gather into your house and, Lord, come to your word, to understand this morning the call to fish. And so, Lord, I ask that you would just move upon us in a very powerful way, that you would stir our heart and stir our mind with this understanding that we are called to share the gospel. And so, Lord, for that to happen, we need you, and we need your presence, and we need you moving through our lives in a very powerful and life-changing way. And so, Lord, we invite you this morning to come as only you can and move upon us. We seek the anointing for the preaching of the word, and we ask for your presence, Lord, as we begin this journey together and become fishers of men. We ask in your name, and amen. Be seated. We may be seated this morning. I'd like for us to take a few moments this morning and think about the call to fish. And so first of all, I think we have to understand what is the call. As I already mentioned this morning, the call is not necessarily about going to Glendale or Patoka or Moreau and spend the day fishing. Not that I would mind a call like that. I would welcome that call anytime. But the call that we're talking about is a very important call, one even greater than fishing. And we're going to talk a bit about that this morning, but the call. And what is the call? I don't know about you, but I remember growing up as a child, when the phone would ring, that meant somebody was calling, and there was a sense of excitement for somebody to grab the phone. And I had two brothers, and so there's times that it was a scramble to see who it was who was on the phone. And if you recall back in the 80s, we didn't have cell phones like we have today, and so that means our phones was either a push button or a dial phone. And it usually would be on the wall, and at our house it was in the kitchen. But we had one of these super amazing long phone cords that you could answer it in the kitchen and you could stretch it clean through the house just about wherever you wanted to go. Except for, however, when you hung it up, it did this recoil action that just came into a big ball of knots. And so some of you are laughing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But there was an excitement when the phone would ring, when somebody was calling. I hope this morning when we begin to think about sharing Jesus with the world, there's that same sense, if not better, excitement about sharing Jesus with others. Today, we have cell phones, and all of us probably have different ringtones. And my phone, which I often leave at home on Sunday mornings, so I'm not the person who forgets to silence their phone when they get a call. Anyway, my ringtone is very distinct. It is Loons. And so that's probably appropriate, but anyway. You'll get thank you, Kathy. Yeah, anyway. When my phone rings, everybody who knows me knows exactly whose phone that is. And so if I ever had it in service, you would know whose phone it was too. But anyway, when the phone rings, we were somewhere the other day and my phone rang, and I don't know if it was a store or a restaurant or wherever we was, everybody just looked at me. When the call comes in, there's a sense of excitement. There's interest. And so when I talk about the call this morning, the call to fish, as we see here in Matthew chapter 4, I hope that there's a sense of anticipation, a sense of excitement, that when Jesus is calling, we are ready to answer. There's a scramble to the call. And so what is the call? We find the call this morning in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 4. And the call was this: follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's the call. I still believe today that Jesus is still calling fishers of men. In a little bit, we're going to break this verse down because there's three things in here that Jesus shares with us. First of all, follow me, I will make you, and then fishers of men. And we're going to dig into that in a little bit. But the call today is that we follow him and he will make us fishers of men. The call is still going out. If we want to reach our community for Christ, if we want to make a difference in the life of others, we have to recognize the call. In fact, Jesus was very serious about this call. You find that at the end of Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, is the very verses that we refer to as the Great Commission. What Christ has commissioned the New Testament church to do. Or it's the call to the church to evangelize not only the community you live in, but the world. And so in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, it shares with us, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I want you to know this morning that Jesus is very serious about the call. Now I know this morning in our passage of Scripture and in the context of our passage, the call went to Peter and James. But that's not the only people he called. He also called Andrew and John. And so we're going to talk about that in a minute too. And so we might say to ourselves, well, you know, the call to fish was just to Peter and Andrew and James and John. That would be misleading. Because we know that Jesus had more than four disciples, and so he calls other disciples. At the end of Matthew, we find Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, where he calls the church to evangelize the world. And so this morning, we cannot escape the call. Your name might not be Peter or Andrew or James or John or whatever. There's still a call to the believer to share the gospel. And the call this morning is just as relevant as it was when Jesus first laid eyes on Simon Peter and said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. In our modern age, when the phone rings, sometimes be it our landline, if you still have one of those, many don't, or our cell phone, we can look at the phone and see who's calling. When you do that, how many times do you look at the phone and say, oh, it's them? I'll call them later. We don't need a show of hands, but we're probably all guilty at some level. Or you look at it and say, you know what? I've never seen that phone number before. If it's important, they'll leave a message. That might be good advice because you get lots of scams and weird calls and so on and so forth. Jesus is still calling. Spiritually, do we ever look at our spiritual cell phone and say, oh, it's Jesus. I'll call him later. just a thought. But recognize this morning, the call is still going out. And Jesus is still calling the church to follow Him and become fishers of men. And so I hope we answer the call. And that's the second thing I want to share with you this morning in regard to the call to fish, is the response. The answer. How do we respond to the call? I guarantee you, if I got a call saying, "Hey Mike, let's go fishing today," if my schedule allows it, I'm going to say, "Absolutely, let's go fishing." I hope that's our response when Jesus calls us to be fishers of men instead of fish. "Yes, Lord, I'm ready to go." We discover in our passage of Scripture that Jesus encounters Peter and Andrew in verse 18. And in verse 20, He says to them, or in verse 18, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Look what happens in verse 20. Their response to the call to fish. They immediately... If you're taking notes, you need to underline that. Immediately left their nets and followed Him. Jesus called, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed Him. There's a lot to ponder in there. There wasn't any question about, well, where are we going to meet? What time are we meeting? Where are we going? How long will we be gone? Do I need to bring bait? Do I need to bring sandwiches? Immediately, they stopped what they were doing and they followed Jesus. They responded immediately. We find in verse 21 of our passage of Scripture, then Jesus comes on James and John in verse 21. And Jesus calls to them. And you know what they did in verse 22? And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. James and John immediately left their boat and father and followed Him. There's some things to think about there too, and we're going to mention that in just a little bit. And so we see Peter and Andrew, James and John, the call to fish goes out. And they respond immediately. Now, if you know anything about Peter, Peter was a boat owner. Peter was, you want to call him the captain of a fishing company? That's exactly what he was. Left it behind. Immediately. That's pretty amazing. And then we encounter James and John. What did they do? They left their boat and their father. They were part of a family fishing business. I don't know if either one of them were vice president or CEO, but what I want us to grasp here is they left something behind for the call. Now, I know this isn't just any call, but consider for a moment, if you would, what is our response to the call? Will we respond to the call? Will we be fishers of men? I hope so. However, it brings up an important question, one that we have to consider this morning. What are we willing to leave behind to follow Jesus and become fishers of men? It's obvious that to do so, something has to be left behind. It was for Peter and Andrew, and it was for James and John. And if you read about Matthew, he had to leave some things behind too. And so we come to this place when we think about the call to be fishers of men, the call to evangelism, that something has to happen. Something has to be left behind to give us the opportunity to follow. Let's consider a few verses this morning as we think about that. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27, Jesus says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he will reward each according to his works.'" Once again, we see Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me or follow me, he has to deny himself. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 39. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." The truth is, this morning, that's a lot to comprehend. That's a lot to take in. I want us to recognize just how serious the call to fish is. Peter and Andrew left the fishing business. James and John left their boat and their father and the fishing business to respond to the call. There's something happening. There's something happening here. And I want us to get this, and we will in a moment. We find in Matthew chapter 16, in regard to the disciples, we're disciples. If we want to follow Jesus, we have to deny ourselves. And then Jesus says, anybody who loves anything more than me is not worthy of me. In response to the call, there's something that begins to happen. There has to be a surrender that happens in our life to respond to the call. And we're going to talk about that surrender in just a moment. But I want us to know this morning what Jesus asked of them may not necessarily be what he's asking of you at some level. To help us grasp that for a moment, if we could, because we're thinking, Andrew and Peter, I mean, they abandoned their fishing business. I'm not saying for a moment this morning that you call your employment tomorrow and say, I'm not coming to work today. I'm going to become a fisher of men. Because in a few weeks, you're going to be on a diet. And you may be sleeping in your car. If your car is paid off, if not, you're going to end up in some issues. So there's some things we have to wrestle with here a little bit. James and John, they left their father, their boat, their business, their way of life to respond to the call. And so we have to be thinking, I can't do that. Be honest, yeah, we can't do that. There's something different, but there's something happening here. And so to help us grasp that, I want us to think about the rich young ruler for a moment. Many of us, if not all of us, are very familiar with the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus one day and said, what do I need to do to follow you, to become a disciple? And Jesus responded to the rich young ruler, you got to keep the commandments. And he said, I've kept the commandments since I've been a child. And there's a discussion there. And the scripture says that Jesus loved him, appreciated him, because he'd kept the commandments. And he said, what else do I need to do? What else do I need to do? And here's the big question. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Well, we know how that went. The rich young ruler left disappointed. But we have to ask ourselves the question, why? Why would Jesus say to this gentleman, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me? Does Jesus require everybody to go and sell everything they have to come and follow him? No. No, he doesn't. Why him? We understand quickly there's one thing that the rich young ruler was passionate about. His money and his possessions. The most important thing in the life of the rich young ruler was his money and his possessions. If you're going to follow Christ, if you're going to respond to the call, he has to be the most important thing in our life. For the rich young ruler, Jesus was never going to be number one. Never. Because his money and his possessions was more important than the call. For Andrew and Peter, what was the most important thing in their life? Fishing. What was the most important thing in the life of James and John? Their father and fishing. We would have to ask ourselves this morning when we think in regard to the response to the call, is what's important in our life. Is there anything more important than the call? And so we have to understand this morning, the truth is there may be some things we have to let go of to fully respond to the call to fish. Now we're not so excited about the call when the phone rings. And so we have to ask a third question this morning. This is the third thing I want to share with you. Is with all that rolling around our mind, we have to then wonder, how do we become fishers of men? Do I have to sell everything I have and give it to the poor? Do I have to get rid of my boat and my fishing rods? Do I have to surrender my craft room, so on and so forth, to become a fisher of men? I mean, that's a legitimate question at this point, is it not? I think we have to get a grasp of this call. And so Jesus shares with us, very pointedly, how we become fishers of men. Remember when I told you earlier that verse breaks up into three things. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And that's exactly how we become fishers of men, or how we should respond to the call. First of all, we must follow Him. Wherever He's going, whatever He's doing, that's where we're going, that's what we're doing. Jesus said, follow me. And that's what we need to do if we want to be fishers of men. That's about surrender. And that's what we've seen in the life of Andrew and Peter. That's what we've seen in the life of James and John, was surrender. The follow me is all about surrender. The problem with the rich young ruler is he was unwilling to surrender those things to the Lord. The Lord may not necessarily be telling you today that you need to get rid of this or get rid of that. But surrender that. Surrender it to the Lord. Lord, this is yours. Our home, it's yours. My car, it's yours. My property, it's yours. My fishing poles, they're yours. My boat, it's yours. My camper, it's yours. My house, it's yours. My wife and my children are yours. Surrender. It really is about surrender. Apart from full surrender, we won't get the concept of evangelism, of becoming a fisher of men. It has to become a priority, something of importance. It's about focus. And so we have to consider what's important in my life, and have I surrendered what is important in my life? Have I given it to the Lord? That's what it's all about when Jesus says, follow me. It's about surrender. It starts with the surrender of the heart. And then it becomes the surrender of possessions and things and family. I guarantee you that when you open the door of your home and you step in your house, you can quickly understand what's important to you. Or you can go to somebody else's house and you can look around once you step in the front door and you'll see what's important to them. Because that's what we surround ourselves with, is the things that's important to us. What Jesus is asking of us in response to the call and becoming fishers of men is surrender those things to Him. Now, was this the last time that Peter and Andrew and James and John went fishing? No. It wasn't. But it wasn't as important in their life as it used to be. Sharing the gospel became more important to them than fishing. So first it begins with follow. The second thing we need to do to become fishers of men is to learn from Him. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. I will make you. And so the second thing we must do is we need to learn from Him. We find in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through verse 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we're going to become fishers of men, not only do we follow Him, but we learn from Him. I guarantee you there's nothing more important in the life of Christ than unsaved people. The very reason He left heaven, came into this world, was for the lost. The reason He died at Calvary. The reason He rose from the grave. The reason He ascended to the Father was all about redeeming humanity. And if anybody knows how to do it, Jesus does. He says, learn from me. I will make you. Often when we think about evangelism or we think about sharing the gospel, we think that it's a very difficult thing to do. But it doesn't have to be. You know, you can share the gospel right where you are almost every moment of the day. Many of you will have to get up tomorrow morning and go to work. My, what a mission field that you are on. Some of you tomorrow will have to get up and go to the grocery store. My, what a mission field. Some of you have a list of people you need to call tomorrow. What an opportunity. And if you don't have any of that to do, could I encourage you to take a moment and look around? Everywhere you go, there are people in need. There are people hurting. And there are people who are unsaved, who know nothing about Jesus. In fact, all of us probably have a family member that is in that same condition. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This thing of evangelism is not rocket science. It doesn't have to be difficult and it doesn't have to be miserable. It can be enjoyable and can change the lives of others. And so as we continue to deal with this question, how do we become fishers of men? Well, first we follow Him. Second, we learn from Him. And third, we take action. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers is an action word. Not, oh, I'll make you fish for men. You will be fishers of men. It's action. And all of us, every one of us who have named the name of Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, are called to fish. Called to fish. Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Great Commission. You know what the first word of that is? Go. Let's say that together. Go. One more time. Go. Going requires action. We have to take action. And that's what Jesus did. Every place he went, every person he encountered, he took action. You notice Jesus was interested in people all over the place. He went. If we're going to be fishers of men, we have to take action. We have to do something about it. And so what does that look like for us? Right here at Dover Hill. What does the go fish look like for us? Anybody know? I know you know. If you don't by now, it's time we do. Prayer. Care. And power. That's what fishing for us looks like at Dover Hill. How do we take action? We take action by praying. Being specific in our prayers. Now, there's a difference in our prayer time where we share with the Lord what's happening in our life and those types of things. And then there's a very distinct time where we're evangelizing and starting to do that, we're praying for somebody or praying for their circumstances, praying for the situation they're in. And then when we recognize that situation in some form or fashion, we show them that we care. From prayer, action, we care. We're going to help with whatever it is. And when we're caring for them, we're going to take some time and share life with them so that we have the opportunity to share Jesus. And every time we pray for them, we care for them, we share with them, we are empowering them to come closer and closer to surrendering their life to Christ. That's not difficult. I'm going to say that again. That's not difficult. You encounter somebody you know. You can simply say in your conversation as you're at work or wherever you are, do you have anything you need to pray for? People are open to being prayed for. I mean, they just are. You begin to pray for whatever that is. And if you can do anything, and I know you can, let them know that you care. And share that we're going to be collecting groceries for kids for summer. There's some people we come in contact with that need groceries. Now, I know some of us might not be able to go down to the store and spend a couple $100 on groceries, but I tell you what, if somebody needs groceries, if you go down to the store and you buy a couple items, you bring it to their house, they're going to appreciate that. Care. That's not that difficult. Share. Next week, do you think we get together for a cup of coffee? I just want to see how you're doing. You sit down with them over a cup of coffee and you take a few moments and you share with them what's going on in their life, maybe what's going on in your life. Every time that happens, you're empowering them to move closer and closer to Christ. That's how we fish here at Doverhill. So if I can this morning, Jesus is calling us to pray, to care, to share, and to empower. We say that's not difficult, and it shouldn't be. But if we haven't done what the disciples did way back here when Jesus said, "Follow me," and I will make you fishers of men, if we don't surrender the stuff in our life, stick with me just a minute. If we don't surrender the stuff in our life, we will not have time to pray, to care, to share, or to empower. Because all that other stuff becomes more important than the important stuff. How do I know that? Peter and Andrew, James and John, Jesus says to fishermen, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I have never met a fisherman to this day who immediately leaves the lake, the creek bank, or the river. You can ask any of my families. Just a moment. One more cast. Bob smiling back. You know what I'm talking about, Bob. One more cast. Becky says, "Well, don't you think we should be going?" "Oh, give me one more cast." And guess what happens? Following me, right? One more. One more. One more. One more. And then if you catch a fish in any of those one more, it becomes a few more, 10 more, 20 more. The call went out 30 casts ago. And we're still fishing for fish instead of fishing for men and women and children and the hurting. And the lost. And just be honest. At some point in the life of the believer, at some point in the life of the Doverhill Christian Union Church, prayer, care, share, and power has to be our DNA. That doesn't mean today we have to go home and sell our house or our fishing poles or our boats or our campers or whatever it is. But today, prayer, care, share, and power has to be more important than the stuff of life. I want to close this morning with this promise. And we see in Luke chapter 18, verse 29 and 30, and this is what it says. Listen to the beauty of this verse. So he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come. Eternal life." Jesus says to his disciples and all those who gather, "All of you who have surrendered these things to me, I'm going to bless you with more in this life and in the life to come. That's a promise we can take to the bank. Today, the call to fish is gone out. Have you ever played the game Go Fish? I think all of us have played the game Go Fish. And there you're making... It's been a while since I played Go Fish. But anyway, I believe you make pairs. And when you do, you can lay them down. Is it pairs, right? It's been a long time since we've all played Go Fish. Anyway, you get certain number runs and you can lay them down. And so you ask the people who's playing, do you have a 7? If they have a 7, they give it to you. And if they don't, they tell you to go fish. Well, this morning, Jesus is telling you, go fish. Go fish. Go fish. There's a 7 out there. There's a hurting, maybe unsaved individual out there. And that's the perfect person for you to pair with for the moment, for the sake of the kingdom. Can I encourage you today to go fish?